Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Two Sundays ago, we talked about faithfulness, and today I would like to talk about gentleness. And if you put all this teaching into practice, your relationship with other people will be strengthened and will be blessed. I would like to encourage all of you to get the CD from previous teaching. Listen to them again and again many times. When I was a young believer, I did not have a shepherd to take care of me except God. I did not have anyone to teach me. But what I did is that I listened to a lot of teachings. I read the Bible a lot. I spent time in prayer. And I fed myself. My dear brother and sister, my goal as a pastor in this church is this, that I will help you to grow to the point that one day you don't need to depend on me anymore. But you can be a grown-up man and grown-up woman in the spirit, that you can go and bless the nation. We don't want you to be stuck with me forever. I don't want you to be depending on the pastor forever. I want you to grow up and to become a grown-up people, to be a blessing to many nations, to many people around you. How many people want to grow up? You know, I have found out that a lot of problems that happen in our life will be resolved just only if we grow up. Is that right? If we grow up, many problems will be resolved. Amen. You know, the word gentleness is not a popular word. It's not a popular issue, especially to men. Men will say like this, why I have to learn about gentleness? Because gentleness will not make the football game, will not win the football game. Gentleness will not help me in my job. You know why? Because we are living in dog-eat-dog society, in dog-eat-dog world. We are living in the survival world. We try to survive. So we need to do everything to survive. With that, we need to take care of ourselves. We don't need to worry about other people. Therefore, when we hear the word gentleness, we probably say, it's okay for other people, but not for me. But I tell you right now that there is power in gentleness. There's a power in being gentle and being kind to people. And when you are gentle, I tell you, you get people attention. You will get people attention, because people are going to turn around and say, this person is different. And your relationship with other people will be radical, will be blessed by God, will be powerful. My dear brother and sister, every part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is powerful in your life. Amen. If you want to talk about gentleness, the best picture is to see a stallion or a white horse that became tamed and obey the master. That is gentleness. You know, a stallion or a white horse will run around and try to throw people out of his back. But when it becomes gentle, it will be a powerful animal that can really win the battle, can bring the soldier into the battlefield and win the battle. Gentleness is very powerful. Gentleness is the power of your potential under God's control. Let me repeat one more time. The definition of gentleness is the power of your potential under God's control. All of us here in this world, all of you in this room, has hidden or untapped potential in your life. And those potential can be a harm or can be a blessing. If the potential is under the control of your sinful nature, it will harm people. But if your potential is under the control of the Spirit of the living God, it will be a powerful blessing to yourself and to other people. So today, you're going to hear the word control a lot. Because The whole point of gentleness is to put everything in your life under the control of God, not under the control of your own flesh or your own sinful nature. If you find out your potential and let those things be under God's control, you will be the kind of people that God wants you to be. Amen. Let's say with me at the same time now. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. It's good for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now in Jesus' mighty name, my mind is awake and alert. My heart is receptive. I receive the living Word of God. And my life will be changed. I will never be the same. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Gentleness is power. And when we talk about gentleness, we're going to look at five areas. P is the area of personality. O, power. P-O-W-E-R. O, the area of outlook. W, the area of your words. E, the area of expectations. And R, the area of response. If you put all these five things, power, P-O-W-E-R, personality, your outlook, your words, your expectations, and your response under the control of the Spirit of God, your life will be full of gentleness, the gentleness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's one of the reasons I love revival. I love the touch of God. I noticed that people who had been touched by the presence of God, when they yield to God, they tend to yield to the Holy Spirit on a daily life, on a daily basis. They watch their mouth, they watch their heart, they watch their attitude. They let the Spirit of God control everything in their life. Let's look at the first thing, personality. In John chapter 14, verse 4, I read from Living Bible. You must go on growing in me, and I will grow in you. I mean Jesus. Jesus said, you must go on growing in me, and I will grow in you. In other words, you and Jesus must abide together, and you must surrender to the Spirit of Jesus inside you. For just as the branch cannot bear any fruit unless it shares the life of the vine, so you can produce nothing unless you go on growing in me. So Jesus said that you cannot produce the fruit, including gentleness, without abiding, without surrendering, without allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to control your life. How many people agree with me that your personality is controlled by your character traits? Is that right? Your character traits on the inside of your heart control your personality. How many people can mention about positive character traits that you like? That if you're around these kind of people, you feel good. Can you give me certain positive, godly character traits? Can you tell me? For example, give me one. Peacefulness, gentleness. What else? Love, joy. You like to be around depressed people? No, you want to be around joyful people. Compassion, integrity, honesty. Is that right? So you can see here that there are good and positive character traits, but there are also bad and negative character traits, such as rudeness, amen, short-tempered, dishonesty, pride, depression. All these character traits are not good. And all of us, if you are honest about yourself, if you are very real to yourself and genuine to yourself, you agree with me, and I agree with myself, that we all have certain negative character traits. Is that right? We all have some. That's why we are all imperfect. If you want to find a perfect church, you come to the wrong place, and you will never find one anyway. Because if you go there, you're going to make that church imperfect. Because church is full of imperfect people. We all have negative character traits. And even, can you imagine the closest friend of Jesus named Peter, John, and James? They are the inner circle of Jesus. If you look at their life, before they became an apostle, before they impact the world before they became a pillar of the early church, if you look at their character traits, they have problems like many of you here. If you read in the book of Luke chapter 9, you remember the story that Jesus Christ and his disciple was going up to Jerusalem. And they went through a town called Samaria. So when Jesus showed up there, the Samaritan people said, "Don't come here. I heard your reputation. I don't want to be around you." You know, I think another word, some people really against the anointing in the life of Jesus. You know what happened to John and James? You thought that John and James are nice guys, all right? You thought that John and James are like me, very nice guy. You know, Luke chapter 9 say, John and James say like this, "Call fire from heaven and burn all of them." Wow. That is John and James before they got touched by the fire of God in the upper room. They say, "Call fire from heaven to burn them." I know that some of you think like that toward me sometimes. "Pastor, you're too strong. God sent fire to burn the pastor." Hallelujah. Amen. Not only that, look at their mom. Their mom show up later on in the book of Matthew chapter 20. Their mom show up and say, "Lord Jesus, Master, you know when you go up to your kingdom, please put my two sons here." John and James came from the same mother, the son of Zebedee. "Please put one of them on the right hand and another one on the left hand." Wow, the mother of John and James are very, very greedy for the position. You can see that this apostle, these great men in the Bible had really negative character traits in their life before they got touched by the fire of God and yield their life to the control of the Holy Spirit. Look at Peter. Peter always talk. Peter was very impulsive. Peter rushed into things. He is the one who pulled out the knife and cut on the ear of the soldier of the Roman, of the priest at that time at the Garden of Gethsemane. He is the one who denied Jesus three times. So Peter has a negative character trait too. Is that right? Look at what Jesus said about all of his 12 disciples. In Luke chapter 9, verse 41, "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." I believe that this sentence, many of you who are moms and dads can identify with Jesus. How long I'm going to put up my toddler who always fall down and cause damage in my house? How long I have to put up with my teenager sons and daughters? Oh, you know, Jesus feel that way. How long I'm going to have to put up with these people? They are so full of negative character traits. Amen. But there is hope. If people give up on you, I want to tell you one person never give up on you. And that man, that God named Jesus Christ. If Jesus never gave up on Peter, actually when I read this story about Peter, John, and James, I really have a lot of hope. Because I have a lot of negative character trait. Amen. You know, some people say that Pastor Lau is not a very warm person. Maybe it's true. But that is my negative character trait. And God still put up with me. And God's still very, very patient with me. The same thing that enabled Jesus to stick it out with this disciple is exactly the same thing that you can utilize to help other people. And that is the gentleness of God. Gentleness is the negative character trait that is put under the control of the Spirit of God and chain it around to come out as the positive character of God. If you can find out your negative character in your life and you just make a list on it and say, "God, I surrender all of these things to you. I repent of my sin. I repent of my negative characters and personality and yield to you and let you control me. Let the Spirit of God control me." Then you will become a gentle person. You know, I told my friend in the hospital all the time that I know both the teaching of other religions and the Christianity teaching. Most of the religions, I grew up in another religion. And most religion will teach you, you have to do it yourself. You must do it yourself. You must be gentle by yourself. You must be kind. But I tell you, it's so hard to do. You know why? Because we are weak people. We are selfish people. The only way is to have the power of the Spirit of God come into our life and start to control us and begin to move on the inside of us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 20, "For this reason, I'll bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened." Everyone say strengthened. "With might through his Spirit in the inner man." God can strengthen you on the inside. On the inner man, your spirit will be strengthened by the Spirit of God. When I come back from Orlando, I met a young man who worked for NASA. He is an electrical engineer. He told me that he goes to another denomination, one of the denominations in America. And he told me that he really have a hard time as a young man to follow the law of God. His church is very, he told me, this is not my own word. He told me that his church is very legalistic. You have to dress this way. You have to do this way. You have to do this way. And I shared with this young man. He's about 24 or 26 years old. I say, "Young man, I find a secret in the past few years now. What Paul talked about, that we are not walking by the law, but we walk by the Spirit. Because after I have been touched by the fire of God cleansed out all the negative things in my life, little by little, one by one. And then my life, the more you get touched by God." You know, a while ago, when a lot of people here got touched by God and laugh and fall down and shake, it's holy. When God touched you, something happened on the inside. And the Spirit of God come on the inside of you. That's why the Bible says, strengthen with might or with power through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may, being root and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. God wants us to be full, filled with the fullness of God. I told this young man that, you know, I used to try to know all the Bible and try to do it, but the more I know the Bible, I cannot do it. Actually, the Bible, the more you know the Bible, you know that you cannot do all those things by your own strength. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are like a glove. And the Spirit on the inside of you just change from the inside. And you become gentle out of the inside. You become loving out of the inside. You are the glove and he is the hand that move on the inside of you. That's why the Bible says, "Now to him, to God, who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all things that we ask and think, according to the power." Everyone say power. Where, who give the power? The Holy Spirit give the power that works in us. Christianity is not about following the law. We are not walking by the law, but we are walking by the Spirit of God inside us, move inside to become gentle, to become sensitive. That's why I beg you, brother and sister, to really be filled with the Holy Spirit, to really welcome the Holy Spirit, to yield to the Holy Spirit. And he can do exceedingly. Can you imagine if God could change James, John, and Peter to be the pillars of the early church? They had a lot of negative traits, character traits. God can change anyone in this room to become a new person by the power of God. Allow him to change you. List all the negative character traits and give to God and say, "God, I surrender, I yield, and come and change on the inside of my heart, my inner man inside here. Cleanse me." Amen. By your word and by your Holy Spirit. It's very simple. Christianity is about yielding and hungry for the powerful work of the Spirit of God on the inside of me. I don't get tired anymore trying to follow the law of God. Because it's not that I try to follow the law, but it's the Spirit on the inside of me. Work on the inside to do whatever the law says. It's much easier. Amen. Are you glad that God's Spirit can help you as long as you let him control you? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many people have that experience that when the Spirit of God control you on the inside, you don't need to look at the law anymore, but the law of God has been written in your heart by the Spirit of God. Raise your hand up. Praise God. That's why we welcome the Holy Spirit. That's why we yield to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. I have a conversation with a couple, actually with one of the brother in the church, and he's sitting here. I told this brother that, you know, brother, I'm really tempted just to quit the revival because I noticed that some people get offended when God is moving and they don't want to come back to the church. And this brother told me, Pastor Lau, do you want a big church with a lot of people with big problems? Or you want a church that people get cleansed, get and walk in the Spirit of God, and people are really real with God? I have two choices, but I make a second choice. I make a choice to have a church that God is moving, God is touching people, and people become real to God than just have a big church, but there's no freedom of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But I believe we're going to be big one day. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The time will come that people will come and seek the presence of God. Number two. Number one, everyone say personality. Character traits. Are you willing to give that up to God and let the Holy Spirit control you? Amen. Let's say at the same time, may the Spirit of God control my character traits and my personality. In Jesus' name, I yield, I surrender. Amen. Number two, outlook. As your character traits begin to change, this change will have incredible impact on your outlook, on the way you look at the circumstances. It will impact the way you see people, how you see other people around you. Your outlook, how you look at people, how you look at the circumstances will control your attitudes and your actions. Our actions are highly influenced by our attitudes and our outlook. Amen? For example, the same thing you look at, you can look at it in a negative way and a positive way. Your outlook, you see, for example, maybe you look at Space Needle. And you say, wow, Space Needle is awesome. It's high and it's good to go up there to look at the city. Or you can look at the Space Needle and say, wow, it's too high, it's scary. I don't want to go up there because I may fall down. You can look at the things in a negative way or the positive way. When our outlook comes under the control of God, our eyes will see things from God's lens, from God's perspective. So we begin to see things from God's way and God's spirit. All of a sudden, everyone look beautiful. Everyone look lovely. Everyone look precious and valuable. Amen. Before I became a Christian, I don't like people that much. I look down on people. But after the Spirit of God filled me up, I look at everyone. Wow, they're beautiful. These people are so beautiful. These people are so precious in the eyes of God. And you know, when your outlook begins to look toward the preciousness of people, what happened to you? You will begin to look at the benefits of other people. You begin to shift your arrow out of yourself instead of thinking of my own benefit, but you think about other people's benefit. You begin to be concerned with other people's well-being. That is the outlook of God. Where is it in the Bible? Let me read to you. Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 to 5, talking about Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of Jesus is living in you. What you need to do is to allow His Spirit to control you. And you're going to have the outlook. You're going to see things from His perspective. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 to 5, don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they are doing. Your attitude should be the same as Jesus Christ. Jesus is the model or our example. Jesus, when He came to earth, had our best interest in His mind. Wow! This is God, the God that we worship, is not a selfish God. He has your interest in his mind. He doesn't think about his own interests. The Bible says that without Jesus Christ, we are separated from God for eternity. Jesus came to bridge that gap, restore that fellowship between us and God. You know, when you surrender your outlook to God, when you surrender the way you think, the way you see things to God, you will begin to see the value of other people. You will begin to think about the benefit of other people, their interests, not only your own interests. Amen. Hallelujah. And you become more understanding. You begin to understand other people's background. You try to understand where they come from so that you can bless them instead of myself, and I. That is not gentleness. Gentleness is about you. What can I do to bless you? What can I do to help you? How are you doing? Not about me and mine. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 35, what Jesus say in the Bible here. And I have been a constant example of how you can help the poor by working hard. You should remember the works of the Lord, the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. The heart of God, gentleness, is one to give, one to bless, one to help, not just one to take, not just one to take for myself. If every husband can do like that, what can I do? When you look at your wife and you say, wow, she is awesome, she's so beautiful. You have the outlook of God upon her. And you begin to think, what can I do to bless my wife? What can I do to make my wife happy? Happy wife, happy life. Amen. How many people experience that? Hallelujah. So you begin to look. You know, I really appreciate my wife. She is that kind of person. She always looked after me. She tried to look at my interests all the time. And this is a beautiful relationship. When both husband and wife look at each other like that, how can I bless you? How can I bless you? You look at this way, your family life will be very, very full of blessing. Is that right? Gentleness is about looking at other people's interests. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. From godliness, add in brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. My dear brother and sister, we should learn how to set aside our own desires, but become patient and godly to other people. The more you let God control your outlook, the more you're going to love people. Because you begin to look at people through the eyes of God. Let your eyes become the eyes of God. Let your retina, how many people know retina mean? Retina. Retina is the back part of your eyes that receive the sight to send to your occipital lobe, your brain. So let your retina become God's retina. Amen. Let's see everything. Let's perceive and see everything from the eyes of God. And then you become more caring. You become more loving. Amen. You become more gentle to people. Because our God is a God of gentleness. Let him control your outlook. Do you know that what destroys relationship the fastest? What destroys any relationship? If you go into any relationship, one thing that will destroy relationship very fast is selfishness. Selfishness is opposite to gentleness. Amen. Look at what the Bible says in James chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. Where do the fights and quarrels among you come from? They come from your desires, which are constantly fighting within your bodies. I'm talking about sinful desire, selfish desires. You strongly desire things, but you cannot get them. So you quarrel and fight. You can see husband and wife fight because of what? Selfishness. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 16, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every kind of evil. We need to allow God to control our outlook and let the Spirit of God come and fill us up and control our life. Amen. Everyone say control by the Spirit of God. Amen. Number three, W, words. Put your word under God's control. Your mouth. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verses 5 to 9, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. One time in Australia, many acres, hundreds of acres of land was destroyed by fire because a young man threw a piece of match out of his window. The whole land was destroyed by that match, the fire of that match. The tongue also is a fire. Wow, the Bible compare our tongue like a fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man, listen carefully, no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. How many people agree that tongue is full of deadly poison? With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse men, and we have been made in God's likeness. My dear brother and sister, the Bible says our tongue has a power to burn people up. Or the tongue can have a power to build people up. Is that right? Hallelujah. Actually, a few days ago, God spoke to me. You know, I used to have a friendly relationship with a group of people many years ago. And that relationship was cut off for certain political reason. And God showed me something. God tried to teach me. He asked me this question: do you miss them that much? And frankly, I tell you the truth, I don't miss them that much. And then God asked me, why you don't miss them, these people that you have relationship with? And God showed me in my heart, because at that time, many years ago, they sarcasm me, they talk bad about me, they gossip about me, they look down on me with their words. And God showed me right away, son, be careful with your mouth. Because certain people talk negative towards you. After relationships are broken, what happened? You don't miss them anymore. So, son, you learned a lesson that your tongue and your mouth can cause destruction of relationship, or can cause people to really remember all the day of their life. Is that right? Hallelujah. If somebody talk nice to you, somebody build you up with their tongue, you will never forget that person. But if somebody always talk bad about you, you don't want to think about that person that much. You forget. Is that right? So that's why you have to be careful with your tongue. The Bible says like this, no human can tame the tongue. I tell you right now, you yourself cannot even tame your tongue. The Bible says that no human can tame the tongue. How many times in your life that you say something wrong and you want to grab it? Dan, where is Dan? Dan, how fast is the noise go in the air? You are the engineer. Huh? Very fast. Is that right? I don't hear him. The voice go very fast in the air. So how many times you feel like this? You say something and you want to grab it. It's gone already. You feel sad that you say that to your wife and your husband. You make a mistake to say that. That's why, you know, many times we just say something wrong because we cannot tame our tongue. But I tell you, there is one person who can tame your tongue. And his name is Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit can tame your tongue. What you need to do is to wake up every morning and say, Holy Spirit, I surrender my tongue to you. Control my tongue. Before I say anything, help me think first. And then you say, you ask like this in your heart before you say any words. You say, Holy Spirit, should I say this or should I not say this? You control your tongue. I have learned one thing about being a mature Christian. You know, one time I was really offended by a minister. He's a very anointed minister. Because when I got close to him, he didn't say much words. He just so quiet. And I say, this man is so mean to me. He didn't talk to me. But now, in the past few months, I have learned that this man is very mature. In other words, a mature man will not say a lot. Will not speak a lot. The mature man will speak only what the Holy Spirit wants him to say. People who talk a lot, blah, 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 all the time, usually never tame the tongue. Just keeps talking from the flesh. So, but if you talk from the Holy Spirit, you will be more quiet. You will only say what God wants you to say. If God says, don't say anything, you just keep quiet. Amen. Ouch. Hallelujah. The tongue usually represents your heart. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, good people do good things because of the good in their hearts. But bad people do bad things because the evil in their hearts. Your words show what is in your heart. That's why you need to go back to the number one, the character trait, that you need to surrender your heart to be controlled by the Spirit of God. If your heart is controlled by the Spirit of God, your tongue gonna come out by the Spirit of God as well. You need to make sure that your thinking is in line with the Spirit of God, is in line with the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, watch the way you talk. Everyone say, watch the way I talk. Let nothing foul and dirty come out from my mouth. Say only what helps. Each word a gift. Is every word that you say in your mouth is a gift? Or is like a bullet? Let every word that you say a gift become a gift. Only say what is helpful, not destructive. Amen. Every time you're going to say something by the Spirit, you need to say everything by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God can build people up. It's not going to destroy people. Amen. Put every word in your mouth under the control of the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, repent. Number four, expectations. So number one, personality. Number two, outlook. Number three, your words. Number four, expectation. When someone disappoints you, are you gentle or are you judgmental? Your response will determine the health of the relationship. Let me give you a story of a man. Elijah, okay? Elijah was a prophet of God. He performed many miracles. He is a man of God. He won so many victories. One day in 1 Kings chapter 19 and 18 and 19, he won the battle against the false prophet of Baal. 450 false prophets were killed by Elijah. He won the big battle. Can you imagine? Wow, if it were you, I believe that you have a big celebration. Hey, I killed 450 bad people. But you know what happened? A lady named Jezebel came to him, sent a message to him and say, Elijah, I hate you. I'm going to kill you. Your life is going to be taken away. Can you imagine? Elijah killed 450 prophets. But when this lady, he did not even know karate or taekwondo. He just said, I'm going to kill you. Elijah ran out into the wilderness. He ran from the lady. This is amazing. He ran away, and on the way to the wilderness, he complained like this. God, no one in Israel served you. No one is faithful to you. Only I have been faithful to you. Now I'm going to quit serving God. I have enough of this. Elijah complained to God when a lady threatened him. Can you imagine? Then God came and said, go to a cave and wait for me. And then when he went to the cave, he complained again. God, I have been faithful to you. I'm going to quit. I have enough of this. Then God said, go to the top of the mountain, stand on the top of the mountain. Then God showed up. The first thing that he experienced is the big, strong wind. You remember the story in 1 Kings chapter 19? The wind came, the rock of the mountain split into two pieces. And the Bible says, there was no God in that strong wind. Then, before I go to that point, when God told him to go to the mountain, if it were you, I think you would think this way. You know, I backslid. I am backsliding. I think, well, I don't know what God is going to deal with me. Maybe when I go to the mountain, God is going to come with a big fist and just slam on me and punch me. And God is going to say, you're bad boy. You make mistake. You see, you're afraid of that woman. I'm going to take anointing from you. Get out of here. I'm going to choose somebody else. I thought he might have think that way. But when the strong wind came, the Bible says God was not in that strong wind. Then the earthquake came. Boom! And the Bible says God was not in that earthquake. Then the fire came to the mountain. And the Bible says God was not in that fire. Then a gentle, small voice came. Elijah, get up. God was in that gentle, small voice. Our God is not the type of God that when you make mistake and you come back to God and he's waiting for you with a big fist like this. You remember the story of the prodigal son? When the prodigal son came home, he burned all the half of the money of his dad. When he came home, he came home with his head down like this. He thought that he's going to get a big fist or a big raving wind or a big fire or a big earthquake. But you know what? When he came home, he found the open arms of his dad. Come home, my son. God is a gentle God. When you make mistake, God forgives you and welcome you into his hand with gentleness. That is the God that we worship. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4, gentle words bring life and health. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, be humble and gentle. Be patient with this. Listen carefully. Wake up, wake up. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Give each other some room to make mistakes. Be gentle. That is expectation. You know, if you expect me to be perfect and never make mistakes, you're going to be harsh on me. But if you give some room for the pastor to make mistakes because I'm a human being, then you will be always gentle to me. The same thing if you give some room to your husband, that he is a human being. He doesn't know everything. I noticed this. Give some room to your husband that he make mistake. Then you will be gentle to him. Amen. Allowance for each other's fault because of your love. Don't come to your husband when he make mistake with a raving wind, with a fire, with the iron throw like this, or with the earthquake. But come with a gentle whisper, honey, I still love you. I forgive you. Amen. Dads in this room, don't be harsh to your children. Amen. Don't yell at them and curse them and punch them. Be gentle to your kids. Amen. Don't be mad. And you know, your kids may make mistakes too. They make mistakes. They're human beings too. Amen. Don't be judgmental, but be gentle to everyone around you. That's number four, expectation. The last one, number five, response. Gentle people are proactive, not reactive. What does it mean, proactive people? Proactive people are people who are responsible. What does it mean, responsible? responsible. What does it mean, responsible? It means you are able to control your response. You are proactive. You are able to control your response. A reactive person is controlled by circumstances. It's controlled by other people's behavior. It's controlled by other people's reaction. So when people do something and you react, you just respond right away. You just react. But people who are proactive and put their response under the control of the Holy Spirit will not be controlled by circumstances, by conditions, by other people's behaviors. They will learn how to control their response in a godly way. You know, to be reactive is very natural to all of us. Is that right? I already experienced that on the roller coaster. Nowadays, they have a new, in the old way. The old roller coaster, you can, and then go down like this. This is the old way. Now I have learned that in this park, you can rise slowly. Suddenly, the car just boom, go on like this. You know, that is in a rock and roll roller coaster in Universal Studio. Oh, no, in MGM. You just ride and then rah, like this, and I and die like, ah! You want to see the picture come to my home? Both I and die like, ah! Because it's natural to be reactive to the circumstances. And the whole time, we, ah, ah, the whole time. Because it go up and down and turn like this. Amen. So, don't be quick to get angry. Don't be quick to react. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Wow, this is a powerful word. He who is slow to anger is better than the Alexander the Great. Another word. And he who rules his own spirit than he who captures a city. If you can allow the Holy Spirit to help you to control your anger and your spirit, you will be greater than Pharaoh, than Alexander the Great. Amen. Than Napoleon, than any great kings in the world. Have you ever heard this word? You make me angry. Have you ever heard that? You make me angry. Actually, it's interesting that when you go to work and you know that your boss will fire you and he says something to make you angry, you, yes, sir. Yes. Yes, sir. You control. Even though he says something make you mad, you, yes. Yeah, because paycheck is coming. Paycheck is coming. Promotion is coming. Yes. Okay. Yes, sir. Why, you can control it. But when your wife says something a little bit wrong, you make me angry. You know what? We should not be controlled by those circumstances, but we should be controlled by the Spirit of God. Amen. Understand other people. Be gentle to other people. Don't react, but control your response. That is the characteristic of gentle people. Five things: personality. Is your character trait under the control of the Holy Spirit? Number two, your outlook. Is your spiritual eyes. Are your spiritual eyes under the control of the Spirit of God? That you see things from the viewpoint of God or not. And you love people. You look for other people's interests. And you want to understand other people, where they come from, instead of only your way, my way, my way, my way. But understand other people's way. Three, your words. Do you allow the Holy Spirit to control and tame your tongues? Think before you talk. Make sure you don't talk anything that will cause scar and hurt people. Amen. Don't say sarcastic word. Many times my flesh rise up in my job and I want to say something sarcastically. And it's like, no, I cannot do that, because it will cause a scar and the hurt on the other side. Your words. Amen. E, your expectation. Are you judgmental or you are gentle when people do not meet your expectation and they make mistake? Or are you responsible or able to control your response? Or you are reactive people? Ask yourself. I want to beg all of you. In fact, Christianity is very simple. It's not a big deal. It's not difficult. It's to just make decision every day that I will allow the Holy Spirit to control my life and I yield to Him. I'm not going to walk in my flesh. I'm not going to walk in my ways, but I will allow God's way to control me. Amen? Very simple. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God that He did not leave us alone as an orphan to do things by ourselves, but He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen. This morning, before I close this service, I would like to ask a question. Any one of you need God's help? After you listen to this sermon, you know that you cannot help yourself. You need God to help you. And the first step before you can receive the help from God is to open your heart and say, God, I admit that I have problems. I admit that I have done mistakes. I admit that I have sinned against you. Could you please forgive me? I cannot help myself. I am like the people with brain tumor cannot cut on their own brain. They need a doctor. The same thing. Sinful people need God who never sinned to help them. If you say, God, I really see myself. I'm a sinful person. I make mistakes. I have negative character traits. I am selfish. I am very short-tempered. I am not gentle to people. I think about myself more than other people. God, I need your help. I want to encourage you this morning. Very simple. The first step that you can receive the help of God is to admit your fault and say, Jesus, you died for my sin. You are the living God. You need to come into my life. I would like to invite you to come in and help me. You need to invite God. God is a gentle person, a gentleman. A gentleman will never break anyone's door into the house. You need to, He knocked on your door right now this morning. Knock, 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 knock. Your job is to open the door and say, God, come into my life, and I want you to come in. I welcome you, my God. Come and help me. I did that 25 years ago, and my life has never been the same. How many people have the same experience that after you invite Jesus, your life has never been the same? This morning, I'd like to encourage you to invite Jesus into your life. If you want to do that, at the end of this service, I'm going to stand and wait for you here. You just come to me here and we'll pray with you. Just come to me here and we'll pray with those who want to invite Jesus into their life. That's the first group I would like to invite you to do. The second group of people are those who say, oh, it's hard for me to control my tongue. It's hard to control my temper. I'm always mad. I yell at my wife. I'm rude to her. I'm rude to my kids. I'm rude to my husband. I need God to control me. I repent of my sin. God, please help me today. And I will pray for you to ask the fire of God to touch you and set you free. My dear brother and sister, have you ever put your hand into the fire? How many people put your hand in the fire before or touched by electrical fire or something? What happened to your body? You have reaction, is that right? You pull your hand off, you shake, you cry, whatever, you have reaction. The same thing when the fire of God touches you. Your physical body will have reaction. And that's why you see some people cry, some people laugh, some people shake, some people fall down. That is the reaction of your physical body to the fire of God. But that fire is good for you, because it will help you to be able to become a gentle person. It comes in to burn the bondage and the chain in your life so that you can be set free. Father in heaven, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that this morning you will set the captive free. People who repent and yield to you, surrender to you, shall find the healing and the deliverance of God. Father, I pray that those who don't know you will give their life to you today. They will walk out here and give their life to Jesus. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray that your Spirit will speak to their heart and give them boldness to make that decision, Lord. Help everyone in this room to invite Jesus into their life and experience the new life in Christ Jesus. In your name, I pray. Amen. If you are these two groups of people, please come out here right now. I'd like you. From the evil ones. From today on, I start a new journey, the journey to an abundant life. By your help, I surrender to you. I surrender my personality to you. I let you control my mouth, my tongue, my response, my outlook, everything in my life. My expectation. I surrender to you right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Holy Spirit, come and touch me. Come and fill me. Right now. With your fire. Right now, Lord.
Right now.
I surrender. I don't take this for granted.
I
honor the Holy Spirit.
I
yield to you.
I
yield my body,
my
mind, and my spirit to you. Right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.